I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
my mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just to have a drink more.
Put some records on while I
pour. Neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No caps to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break a spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I
swell.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I'm moving close?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. I bet it's cold outside.
Hey, yes, it is in fact cold outside. We're in December. Carolyn's bobbing her head back and forth to this classic She and Him, Baby It's Cold Outside, from their very She and Him Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are listening to the Carol and Joe Show. My name is Joe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer, whatever it is to do out there, I will do it. That is me. Across from me in the studio here at the Stray Production Studio is the wonderful, super talented, the most gorgeous woman I have ever seen in my life. How's it going, Carolyn?
I'm delightful.
Delightful. You're delightful. I'm quirky.
I'm quirky.
I'm quirky.
Look at me. I have big eyes. I'm quirky. I'm tilting my head like a dog.
Like a dog.
I'm quirky. I'm quirky, y'all.
Is that the definition of quirky, Carolyn? Is that the definition of quirky?
Well, I have noticed a lot of comedians take their headshot pictures with, like, their eyes bugged out and their head tilted like a dog.
Is that a thing now? Is that part of the Carolyn's news?
It is part of the
Carolyn's news.
It's an observation. It's an observation that I've made recently. And then recently I've been finding myself posing in the mirror like that.
You have
been doing. Why am I doing that?
You have been
doing that a lot. Because I want to be like Aziz. I'm just like, I'm quirky. Or I want to be like Zooey Deschanel and I'm like, I'm quirky.
What is this thing? What is this quirky? Is this quirky bothering you?
It doesn't bother me.
Are you sure? It sounds like it bothers you.
No, I feel like I just...
Are you quirky enough? Is quirky in?
I just think it's funny that that's their headshot. Because then it's almost like when people... I try to do it in the mirror, I'm like... Somebody actually took a picture like this,
okay, for
and
people,
they want that as their professional headshot.
For people who don't know... Or can't really visualize it yet. Just go from the top. Describe this dilemma that you have with quirky. What is the look? What is the feel? What is the way the world's treating it? And go.
The quirky look. Make sure your eyes are bugged out, like as if you just woke up in a spaz out. Like, whoa, what was that? What was that? What was that noise?
What was that?
I just heard something. Like that. And then like. Your hair can kind of be like a little bit imperfect, because you're like, I'm quirky, you know. You can kind of you embrace your imperfection, which I actually think is a nice thing to have, because I feel like we live in a Photoshop world where everything is fake and flawless. But I kind of like
fake and flawless.
I like the imperfections of certain quirky people. Quirky, I would also describe it as a lifestyle, not just a look. I feel like people want to make these weird comments. Oh, I'm so quirky. I've been called quirky myself.
All right, so let's just start from the beginning then. I'm not the connoisseur of quirkiness, because if you look at me, I don't think I am quirky.
I don't think you're quirky.
I don't even know what to describe myself.
Quirky is such a weird little word too.
But where did it come from, Carolyn? In your perspective, in your world, where and what date and how did this all happen?
I'd say it's a new phenomenon. I'd say it does branch off the hipster phenomenon. It's kind of like a quirky hipster. Could be its own category. I feel like it's a lot of people that are original are quirky.
A lot of people that are original?
Yes, but then now there is unoriginal people trying to embrace the quirkiness. They're like trying to be quirky, like trying really hard to be quirky.
So you're
like,
saying,
oh, I play ukulele.
So you're saying that the quirkiness starts, where did it start?
Well,
how far back can this go?
I actually
not
do,
saying that you. I'm gonna fight against the ukulele thing, because that's been happening before that.
I mean, ukulele's been around for a long time, but it does seem to be a thing that a lot of the famous quirky people play the ukulele.
Because I like to believe at this point that I think you can make the ukulele into a dangerous weapon.
Oh, definitely. I am a fan.
So I'm going to stand by that. But I do know what you're saying. There's some people that don't really play.
But it fits it fits into the category, though. As much as you want to defend that one instrument, it would be the instrument that quirky people would play in a band.
But they don't really play either.
They strum it.
You know what I mean?
They have it in their hands. That counts. It would either be a kazoo or an accordion or a ukulele. Like, those are quirky instruments that quirky
because
people
they look
play.
Because they look cute or something like that?
Yeah, or they're just like, I have my kazoo, you know, like corgi, you know, like that. That's wah, like, wah. Like they have like they're. It's hard to define because I've never actually sat down and like defined what quirky is or looked it up in a dictionary. But I would say it's a person. Nowadays, I feel like a lot of people are posers overall.
Yeah.
So they're trying to be quirky and they go out of their way to be like, I'm quirky. Like,
well, for example, wearing
a striped shirt with like a plaid pattern skirt.
I'm going to stand by the ukulele because I think I've found out a way to make it beyond the quirkiness.
That's what I'm saying. That's fine. I'm just saying that like,
continue.
It still overlaps in that category.
Yeah.
As much as you want to defend it, it belongs in the list of quirky. But, like, okay, for example, like, ways of dressing. I feel like quirky people, they mix around their patterns a lot. They're pretty inventive with their patterns. And I have to say, I think sometimes I might dress like that occasionally.
Example.
Like, patterns, like, they have polka dots, they have stripes.
Wait, what? Just by having those?
No, but the way they assemble it in an outfit, like, a whole ensemble of it.
I want to know how this
is. Like, they might wear, like, purple tights with glitter shoes that are silver and a skirt that's like a Catholic girl, and then like a sweater that's like a sweet pink sweater.
A sweet pink sweater?
Yeah,
what is that?
Like cotton candy. Like, oh, she's wrapped in cotton candy. Like, that would be like a quirky outfit. And then like a charm that's like a quirky thing, like a frog that's wearing a crown. He's the frog prince or something. You know, like, that would be, like, a quirky elf. And maybe, like, a little bow or a headband in their hair.
Okay.
Like, they're like, I'm quirky. I accessorize.
I accessorize.
You know, to beep up my sex value or something. I don't know.
Gotta beef up that sex value now.
You know, they accessorize.
Okay.
And, you know, they always have to have, like, a prop or some sort of thing to hold. So whether it be a kazoo or... who knows, you know, ukulele, whatever.
You're really, really vicious on the ukulele.
Yeah, because, like, every comedian that has a ukulele...
Is that really... Do a lot of comedians have ukuleles?
Yeah. I mean, not all of them, but I would say, like, quite a few now do songs on stage and they have a ukulele.
So maybe this is what happens, man. Maybe people, like, you know, once it's overplayed, maybe that's what happens.
I mean, the ukulele has definitely had, like, a resurgence in the past 5 years.
It definitely has had a resurgence. I mean, there's definitely, you know, but almost like as a prop, not as a serious instrument.
That's what
I think.
Called it, a prop. They hold a prop in their hands, and.
I think it can be a serious instrument.
Okay, we got your point. I got it.
Who's we?
I got your point.
Okay.
You don't have to defend ukulele anymore.
No, I will.
Okay. But I got your point. I know that you acknowledge it as a serious instrument. Do you acknowledge a kazoo as a serious instrument? I think in the right hands, it is.
In the right hands, any instrument. In the wrong hands, when it becomes such like a pop value, anything can be played out.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? And that's usually what the problem is. And I think that's what you're saying with the quirkiness. It's like when it originated or when it started coming out, you're like, wow, that's pretty charming. But then, of course, when everyone gets the same haircut and then stuff like that, then it sort of starts to get to you.
Yeah. I would say like bangs are a thing. Basically like Zooey Deschanel. Like, does inspire, like, a lot of it.
But even Zoe fights against that, too. Because you notice that when, if you notice with Zoe, you know, when they first, she's off and on, but when she started doing the New Girl, remember, she was always already known about wearing leggings and stuff like that. I almost credit her for bringing that in. It's that or, like, the Olsen twins.
That's what I'm saying.
That or the Olsen twins. Because they did a lot of that, too. But I realized in the show The New Girl that she actually, like, a lot of times when the show first started, she stopped wearing leggings. which was actually pretty shocking when I first saw that. Like, even in the intro of The New Girl, she's not wearing leggings, which she's mainly known for. I was like, wow, I get it's like, that's crazy. I see your legs. It's different. You know, it's shiny.
She's mixing it up.
Making it fresh, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there is this whole certain type of girl, and it's almost like a retro thing.
It is definitely a retro thing.
And they like almost admire Zooey Deschanel so much that they completely take her style and look and everything. And like even the haircut, the bangs. I've noticed bangs coming back in fashion. And
well, why do you think there's a reason why?
Probably Zooey, and there are probably a few other actors.
Because Zooey and them, they would bring it up front, you know, make it apparent. But do you think it's the reason why at this point in time, these last 3 years or so, that type of characterization is catching on with women?
Well, I feel it's like a combat of like kind of the anti-Miley Cyrus, because the other half of women, I mean, if you were to break it up in 50-50, just in trends of the past couple of years, it's either like the retro look or the like the acting out look that's like, I'm going to shave half my head, the undercut, or I'm going to do like pink hair, purple hair, or Miley cut. It either branches into the two levels.
So it's either a Zooey or a Miley, pretty much is what you're saying.
I mean, if you were to be really broad about it, I'm not saying that every girl needs to belong in either of these categories. But
sometimes they fall into that, right?
Yeah, they do.
As an overall mass appeal.
I mean, like,
for
myself, like, I don't really, I'm not disagreeing with Miley, whatever. I just, like, I don't really want to dye my hair or shave it or whatever. And so I'm more on the Zooey team, I guess. Team Zooey. Just based on my personality, because I do appreciate the retro stuff. I was, like, into that over 10 years ago, like, going to thrift stores and all that stuff. So, and then, like, a couple people, like, older people, though, they're like, oh, you're hipster, you know, whatever, but, like, I haven't been, like, called that very often, but just by a couple older people, and I was like, I don't really consider myself a hipster, actually. I really don't. Like, but, I don't know. I just feel like there is two camps of girls. There's, like, the Zooey girl and the Miley girl. Like, girls are just, like, acting out. They're crazy. You know, they're having fun with it. Liberation and all that. But then there's still, like, kind of the more old-fashioned girl that's, like, the Zooey girl.
The more modest and quirky and...
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to be sort of, like, clumsy, right?
And she's like, oh, I'm dorky. You know, like... like, what was her... She's like, I'm adorkable. Like, that's her...
I remember that
was, like, a term, like, a year and a half ago. Everyone's like, oh, adorkable. But now no one really uses it anymore.
But see, I don't really see Zooey calling herself adorkable.
Yeah, but you know what? That's her marketing term.
That's the marketing term.
She might not call herself that, but that's definitely the marketing term that they use for her. I mean, they even... Don't they... They sell, like, new girl greeting cards that says, like, you're adorkable. Or, like, Valentine's cards that are like, you're adorkable. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So it's like they're marketing off that, and that's fine, you know?
But I'd like to think that, like, you know, Zooey in her own way, you know, to take the side of Zooey, is that, like, I mean, she found that on her own, you know what I mean?
What do you mean she found it?
She found that her own niche of her own style.
Yeah, that's fine. That's her own. Same thing with Miley. She found that on her own.
And that's the thing, is that, like, maybe, you know, that's how people connect with that in a way, you know?
But maybe that's always been there, you know, like the good girl and the bad girl.
Well, you said Miley's bad?
She's considered to be the bad girl.
Well, who came
in this situation?
Who came before Miley and Zooey then?
Madonna, Britney.
So there's a 20-year gap in between that?
No, Britney.
You know,
like,
there were people
10 years ago.
You know, there were people before, like, even like 3 years before them.
Who was, like, really big before Miley?
You can think real hard about it. There's definitely people
that
are there.
Okay, for example, like, Taylor Swift is really big. I would put her under the category of Zooey Deschanel.
And she also puts herself in the sort of, like, the nerdy, you know...
Nerdy good girl.
Dorky category.
Yeah. So, like, I just feel like there is those type of... I mean, maybe it's always been like that, you know?
I've actually run into a lot more...
Good girl,
bad girl. I've actually run into a lot more girls that are... saying they're dorky and clumsy, like, all the time now. There's lots of people that, like, don't you know I'm clumsy, I'm dropping stuff all over the time. Maybe that's just human.
I think it is.
And it's just more acceptable.
They're just marketing
to say that.
It to be like, I'm just like you. I pump my own gas. I go grocery store shopping. Although I called my publicist 20 minutes before.
Yeah, I called my publicist
to let them know that, to call the press, that I would be at Whole Foods.
Who are you talking about?
I don't know. I was at Whole Foods and, like, I called the press, you know, just to make sure that they would know that I was going to be there. You know, that's how those things happen. And then it's like, oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt, she gets her own vegetables.
So what is your main, you know, your main beef with the quirkiness in general?
I don't necessarily have beef. It's more of just like I've been practicing it.
Like, you've been practicing being
not
that character?
Not like to try to, but like, you know, in my own personal time, when I'm in front of the mirror, sometimes I do like the face that's like, I'm quirky. And like, it started as a joke because I was like, man, I can't believe people actually, they have their headshots like this. I was like, I wonder how it looks to actually pose like that. Because I don't have my eyes bugged out all the time, you know? So I'm like, because like Aziz and a couple other comedians has like their eyes bugged out all the time. And
I mean, there is a comedy style headshot. You know what I mean? That I've done
yeah.
many times. There's a way, you know, because it's comedy. You're not supposed to look serious. You know, you're in character mode.
You have to
have
a little bit of fun with it.
Well, you're in a character mode. So that's like, what is your character? You tried to find that with your face.
Exactly.
Unless it's like just a clean headshot.
Exactly. But I was just, I think what started it was like, so I noticed this observation of everybody doing this like similar face for their headshots. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the mirror and see if I can make this face. And then ever since then, I just kind of do it in the mirror, like for fun.
Maybe that's what's been happening with people all over the world.
All over America.
Everyone's quirky. Yeah.
I don't really think most people can live up to the quirkiness, though. They can't. I think I personally can, but I don't want to necessarily be described as quirky. They're like, oh, she's so quirky. She's a unique thinker.
I can totally pick out a fake quirky a mile, like,
do you
a mile
okay,
in distance.
Okay, you're the person that knows me pretty well. Would you say that I am quirky?
I think you have your own quirks, yeah.
But would you be like, oh, she's in the quirky category?
It's tough because, like...
Because I don't, like, want to put myself in that box, but I can easily see how people would.
I mean, I can see how you're not very, like, sort of typical, you know, and if people put that, if you're not typical, if you're quirky, but, you know, like, there's different layers of what
there's different
uniqueness
levels
that
of
can be.
Quirky within
but, like,
quirky.
Maybe quirky is not the word. What exactly is quirky? Do you do the things that are quirky? Like the, you know, like all like the, like someone's like bubblegum dumb sometimes, you know what I mean? Bubblegum dumb adorable.
I mean, I've actually been more called eclectic. Which I actually like that term better.
That probably fits more, because you're not, you know, you don't play dumb.
Or if
you you're not clumsy.
I've also been called like a free thinker.
Sure, that's
so eclectic.
That's whatever that wants to be.
I mean, it's like it's like, you know, you have your own opinions.
Hopefully, everyone has their own opinion.
I mean, but to the point of like, I'm not really gonna. Just because someone else says it, I'm not going to agree with it.
Like, you
like
know,
I can cross platform.
Like
you
know what's
I'm not going
to
like agree with like everything the Republicans say and everything the Democrats say.
But it's funny because sometimes when people use the word quirky, I almost feel like that's a word that's used as an excuse to do something dumb. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's okay. She messed up. She's quirky. Yeah. So it's almost like it's quirky in a way doesn't really push like intelligence. You know what I mean? It's almost just like, you know, like in being a puppy cat, like, oh, well, I can eat this, but I don't feel like it. I'm lazy. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's quirky because you're lazy. It's almost like you embraced the dumbness of it, and then you made it, like, fun.
See, I would say that I think, like, if you were to branch out the quirkiness... I would say if you were to divide quirkiness into like dumb quirky and then smart quirky quadrants.
What is an example of the smart quirky?
I would say I would fit into the smart quirky coordinate. I would say like it's not somebody that has like that character that's like the Marilyn Monroe like blonde, you know.
What would make you quirky though? People say you're quirky. What exactly makes you quirky?
I'm trying to remember like an example. I don't know. Just overall, they're just like, oh, you say the darndest things. You're so quirky. You know, like just whatever comes out of my mouth.
But see, I feel like it's maybe at this point, it's like a buzzword. Just like, well, a couple years ago, everyone's just like, oh, you know, it's whimsical. And everyone's fucking everyone's using the fucking word whimsical and no one knows what the fuck it means. Maybe that's people. Oh, that's, you know, that's, you're, now I forget. It's quirky. You know, like, then what the hell?
I always use whimsical to, like, describe an illustration style.
I hate the fucking whimsical.
To me, it, like, it reminds me of...
It's like childish fantasy, yeah. But, like, drawn like a kid. That's whimsical, but has the ideas of fantasy involved. That's whimsical, because it's like I'm dreaming the art, but I'm limited to fully visualizing it, but it still represents my color palette, like my single color. You know, it's sort of just like, I don't know. I've had a bad experience with whimsical or whimsy. It's stupid. In my opinion, it is, but it can be great for other people. But once some things get attached in my head, it's sort of hard for it to leave.
Yeah, I mean, adjectives are always going to be really hard to describe anybody, you know, unless it's like a profession. You know, like, oh, he's very musical. He's a musician. You know, like that musical describes a musician. That's an adjective. You know, or, oh, she's artistic. She loves to draw.
Yeah,
you know, like
she's artistic.
Like, that makes sense, but it's just like these other words, like whimsical or quirky, it's really kind of hard to nail down. But to me, it just means like, oh, they have like a little twist to them. That's like the quirky people. There's just something different about them. They're not your average person.
What would you describe like the thinking or like the genre of what like Firefly or what like Guardians of the Galaxy was, like that sort of disgruntled teamness of it?
I would say like Guardians of the Galaxy is like the Island of Misfit Toys as superheroes.
See, I feel like maybe that if I'm more of a misfit in the way I think in that way. I'd like to say I'm still sort of rebellious, but I'm still, you know, very misfit-like.
Because, like, the word misfit is, like, they don't belong. And that's why the Island of Misfit Toys, all those toys, I guess maybe since I'm in the Christmas spirit, all those toys had a reason to be at the Misfit Toys. You know, a gun that squirts grape jelly or whatever it was. You know, like, he didn't have bullets or whatever is in them, or water. Like, maybe it's a water gun or something. But, like, that's why he was there. He wasn't perfect, you know? He was... Something was a little quirky about him, you know?
Quirky.
I still don't understand what's wrong with that little girl.
That's how you gotta say it. That's what the quirky is. Like, I'm quirky. That's literally the definition of what quirky is. So if no one says stuff like that, or if a person doesn't use the word like that or doesn't represent their tone, then they're not quirky. They have to be like, that's me. I'm quirky. Like, you gotta have a little... It's almost like your head is like a jack-in-the-box when you talk. Like,
yeah, that's how
it is. It's
like
that. I'm quirky.
They actually had a jack-in-the-box in the Island of Misfit Toys. But his name was Charlie in the Box.
But do you really see a lot of people acting quirky these days?
They are hard to come by. Because I'm pretty judgmental with that label. I don't want to just hand it out to everybody. And if anything, it does show it as a symbol of respect to that, to be... I really want the quirky people to, like, earn that, you know? Like, oh, they're special.
You're special.
You're special. You're quirky.
Good job on you, special, quirky person.
Because I don't want the fake quirkies to get that, you know?
So you're saying the quirkiness has to be vintage?
Yeah, it has to be authentic. Not vintage. Just authentic. It has to be true.
Maybe
it's hard to vet that.
Maybe there'll be points in, like, all, like, women or even guys... points where they have that quirky period, because you know, like, sometimes when you're surrounded by a lot of when that becomes like such a mass media thing, like you have no choice, but it sort of seeps into what your daily life is. Like, that's what I notice. If you're surrounded by if you're watching a lot of like New Girl or quirky things or whatever it is, you'll start being like that, you know? So maybe once that gets faded away, now you're making the quirky face. See, that's what happens, man. It's like the more you get exposed to it, it'll like seep into you. So it's almost like you gotta manage what you intake, because you are what you eat. If your diet and your goal is to become quirky, then you have to be surrounded by that at all times.
But also, I've noticed, if like, for example, I'm trying to think of like what would make me quirky. It's hard because I'm an artist, so everyone's like, oh, she's so quirky.
Not only that, but then also you're surrounded by a lot of like, you know, direction and decision making. So you almost have to be like strong-minded in that way. But, yeah, strong-arm people.
You know, also, like, for example, like a coffee cup. If somebody has a coffee cup that's,
then you put a bird on it.
Shaped, yeah, with a bird on it or something. They're like, oh my god, that's so quirky. It's not a normal coffee cup.
So really, it's not normal.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so
like,
anything
wow,
that's
that
not normal.
That coffee cup That's interesting.
So really a quirky...
The handle is a spoon.
So really a quirky person can be placed into the misfit genre too.
Yeah, I think so.
But the misfits can be... Misfits can be a gang of all different types of personalities.
Exactly. That's what I think is interesting though about Guardians of the Galaxy. I think we've mentioned this in a previous podcast when we were talking about just the movie, like the review, but what I think is interesting about misfits in general is that somehow they all find each other and they form a gang, like the misfit toys on the island, and yet they become like their own little family, so they become accepted on their own terms. I just think that that's interesting though, because then in a way, like, they're not really true misfits when it comes once they find each other.
Well, they become a gang of misfits.
Exactly.
They become outsiders.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome though. I mean, I think I can straddle the quirky and the misfit.
What would
you fit more fully in the misfit?
Define me then for a second, because we can define you.
No, we already tried to define you. I'm just trying to think about you because it's hard. You're a hard one because
I morph.
No, I don't necessarily think that, because everyone, even if they're the most like solitary person, and you don't think that they get along with anyone, you can still put anybody into a group, you know, like the bronies or something, like they have their own little group. And even like,
I'm not in that,
but speaking of bronies, it's like now there's this whole other thing with men that's like the bros, you know, like, oh, bro code, oh, we're the bros, you know.
What is that, the bro code?
Yeah, it's like you gotta like number one, you gotta like always support
man
your
up.
Men like no you just you support the men, like don't let the girls get in the way, you know, like, oh, she said
bros,
she
before hoes.
Yeah, exactly, bros before hoes, you know. They always like help out a fellow man, you know, which, you know, I can respect. But then when it comes down to it, once it really gets like the girl has to pick between two men, of course, are they really going to be bros forever?
No, that's the sign of definite breakage there.
I don't know. But or they can both walk away from the girl and then it's bros.
Yeah,
before
hoes. Bros before hoes, and then be like, that the girl's not really worth it. She has no personality.
But I did notice that
she got titties and ass, but no personality, right?
I think that the men overall, they have better bondage than females do.
You think so?
Yes.
What happened to the sisterhood of the traveling pants?
There is no, those are hard to come by. Like, I think there are a lot of
I don't even think sisterhood of the traveling pants was actually like a friendship. They just passed.
They just shared the same pants.
Babysitter's Club was a group of girls, right?
But they weren't even real friends. They were just trying to like make money and babysitting.
It was a business.
Like, it was a business. They weren't like true friends. When it, you know, I'm hashing it down. But seriously,
with guys, there's always like movies and stories about like bonding, like Stand By Me or like The Outsiders and The Warriors, mm-hmm. of them banding together. What do the girls have? Do they have quirky, united
traveling pants? Like, that was all them. Like, they were like, they banded up together. They were like, hey man, I can only afford one pair of pants, and they all like had to share it, you know. Like, it's more about the pants. It's not really about the friendship. That's when it comes.
Exactly.
To
it. There's no girls' stories about friendship, is there?
I mean, I know I'm like being rude.
Defy that. What?
Like, I'm trying to think of what other girls, gangs. Because
you know when guys are brought up, there's always about that brotherhood and stuff like that, and Boy Scouts.
I think sisterhood and
teams and sports. But then, like,
what about Sweet Valley High? I don't even know the whole story about Sweet Valley
High.
That's
not what Sweet Valley High was. Sweet Valley High was drama about girls against girls, man.
That's what girls... It's like, girls always have, like, the mean girls. You know, it's like, I feel like most girls can relate to a mean girls story rather than the traveling pants.
Even in the mean girls, remember Lindsay Lohan turned her back on her own friend?
That's what I'm getting at. That's what the girls are more prone to do.
Because they're taught to do that, aren't they?
But you know what? All of my girlfriends came from different segments of life. I never actually had a whole gang of girls like the traveling pants. Like, I never had like a whole gang of like, you know, whatever, six girls that were always together, that are always best friends, like through it all, you know. Like, I personally haven't had that. I've had friends that all know each other through me or someone else, but they're all from different segments of life. But I don't have that whole like club of, hey, here's all six of us and we're together forever, you know.
Yeah,
like, I know it does exist though. There are There are
well, now that everyone's using the word BFF, people are using BFF all the time. How do you know who really is a BFF? And once you name someone a BFF, that means someone who thought they were your BFF now is not their BFF.
But now they also have frenemies. So, like, you know, to their face, you're friends, but then behind the back, they're enemies. So, who knows what to believe?
You girls have way too many
problems,
right?
I admire the guys that they do have their bromance. Yeah, but you know, that's another thing.
But
bromance.
Also, but guys, you know, they don't want to get close either. They're not like, don't touch me. That's too close. I mean, I do that all the time. I don't want anyone touching me.
Yeah, but you have, like, more loyalty with your bros.
Really?
No, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe not you specifically, but I'm just saying guys.
I don't think it's
have
me.
Have their bros. You know that guys have their bros, and their bros always got their back.
And it's lame, and they all take their shirts off together and shit like that.
That is
and
pretty
like,
lame.
Yeah, let's go get some pussy, yo.
That is pretty lame.
Let me just stick in the tip.
Ew. The tip. But like... But girls, like, they do...
I always find that... I'm
trying
maybe
to think
I'm different.
Of what other girl gangs are there. Sucker Punch?
Maybe I'm different, but that, to me, when I see dudes like that, I'm just like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, that's all UVA. They have a new scandal now about how they have a rape culture at UVA.
I'm not really down with the rape culture.
Shutting down all the sororities and fraternities.
Good for them.
I mean, why is it always got to be, like, Virginia universities that are stirring the pot? Virginia Tech shooting and UVA rapes. And
maybe there's no colleges outside of Virginia.
That's all I ever hear about. Like, come on, man. What's going on out there in Charlottesville?
Because that's what it's all about. When you're stuck in the small town, you go to college. All you want to do is you see girls and, you know, they just want to have with the sex, you know?
You're like, give me some of that traveling pants.
They'll come here and sit on my face. Yeah, traveling pants. Take your traveling pants off. Sit on my face. All right, give me the answers to that test. Great. Get out of my life.
What about the Joy Luck Club?
That's not what that was.
What were they? The Asian women.
That was an Asian version of that.
Yeah. Didn't they all, like, sit around and play Mahjong
and they
and
judged
tea?
Each other?
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't believe Mu Shang Pak.
They're like, and then that. They're like, man, I hate Margaret Chow. This is the Margaret Chow hate club.
Yeah.
Like,
see, this is all I hear is like, even you're like, I hate quirky girls. It's just
I
girls,
never said I hate
like,
quirky girls.
You're just like, girls just
take
hate all
back.
Girls.
I never said that.
I don't take anything back.
I never said I hate
take
them.
All right, just say it then.
Why would I hate them when I'm trying to impersonate them in the mirror?
Well, that's how it happens.
I don't
remember,
hate them, though.
Remember in the movie Easy A? Remember where Emma Stone was like, oh, I hate this song. She got a birthday card that had like it sang a song. And then she's like, I hate this song. It's so annoying. And then she opened it up again. She's like, yeah, it's not so bad. And then does a montage where she starts like really getting into the song. That's what happens.
You know what?
At the end, she's singing the song.
Quirky girls. I never said I hate quirky.
What did you say?
I just said it's being overplayed.
Who's overplaying it?
Like every female comedian.
So it's just comedians because no business girls are quirky, right?
No. Hell no. Maybe like 0.05%.
So maybe
they
might
do it at home. They're
so,
like, oh.
So maybe that's the key. If a girl doesn't think she's hot enough, or she doesn't have enough assets, then maybe her key is like, maybe I can be cute and quirky. Because that's another way. Because that's how the guys are now. The guys are not men. They're just like little boys.
Yeah.
And they like quirkiness, and we're more accepting to that.
I think so.
Right. Right. Oh no, Aziz.
With 5 A's. What is
eight
it?
Eight A's. We can't do that. No. But we're like, going down the tunnel. Come on, Brian.
But you know what? Like, you know, there's something for everyone. I feel like nowadays.
Why can't we just text each other? Now our conversations are texting. How's dating going now? It's texting. I'm Aziz.
It is kind of awesome, though, that, like, even if you don't have, like, necessarily, like, you know, the hot look or whatever, you can kind of mold your personality into being something.
I think any girl,
I respect.
Any girl who purely understands who they are and they can, and they take care of themselves, that they can be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I believe that.
See, I think too
believe
many,
that.
This is actually why I want to embrace the quirky movement, is because so many girls are out there trying to like put on all this makeup, stuff their bra, you know, make it seem like they look like who knows what, Kardashian or whatever, and like inject their lips and stuff. And they're trying like so hard to get men's attention with all of those trickeries.
But what's happening is there's no more mystery girls. That's
I think the quirky girls are the mystery
no.
girls.
No. They are not.
Isn't there another girl that was like a few
There's
years
no
ago?
No misfit mystery
like,
girl.
Like in Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind, there was actually a term that was put out for like that type of girl. It was like the lost gypsy or something like that.
Sure.
No, like you know all those movies, like the one that the New Jersey one that Zach Braff did with what's her face, Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Like that type of character, like that Natalie Portman character.
The Garden State.
Garden State, or the Kate Winslet character in...
But that's not... They weren't quirky.
They weren't, but there was a term that was actually out in the media.
I think that type of girl is more interesting to me.
There was a term that was out in the media, which
wrong.
I'm probably mispronouncing, but basically it was something like Lost Pixie Girl.
I don't like that.
But that was the term. Like, I don't. That's not exactly it, but it was something like that, that they said, like, now there's, like, this whole type of girl. But to me, like, that translated into quirky now, because now they're trying to be funny.
Okay.
Because then they're like, oh, I'm trying to attract guys. You know, it's the opposite. You know, when guys, like, 15, 20 years ago were all trying to be comedians, because they're like, well, I'm not good looking, and I'm not a jock, so I'm going to try to make the girls laugh. That's what's happening now is that it's getting switched back now onto the girls. The girls are like, well, I don't really want to try to be like Victoria's Secret model. And like, you know, I'm still cute though, but I don't want to like, you know, get Botox or whatever. So I'm going to just put all my energy into being funny and quirky.
Yeah.
And so like, it's the opposite of how like the guys figured it out first though. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because there's like a lot of guys that like, I mean, I like Chris Kattan. I don't know about nowadays Chris Kattan, but when Chris Kattan was on SNL, I liked him. And, like, honestly, he's not really, like, necessarily hot. And he's not, like, you know, a dreamboat or something like that. But, like, something was attractive about him because he was quirky. Or he, you know what I mean? Like, he played fun characters and stuff.
It's strange.
And he made you laugh,
he's
you know?
He's peculiar.
He's a peculiar guy. So I was like, hey, there's something about that guy that's interesting. And then I noticed him. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, like, now it's just happening the opposite way with the girls. Because they're like, well, I don't really actually want to try to be, like, a skank. You know? I want to actually try to make guys laugh. Or guys and girls laugh. You
yeah.
know? So, like, hey, I don't dislike them. It's like, I actually, after this conversation, I'm embracing quirky more than I was before this conversation.
Now more than ever.
Now I'm probably at the height of my quirkiness right now. Because, like, you know, sometimes it's cool that it's about the personality and it's not about, like, look how big my tits are.
Because,
you know?
Because really, I mean, in a way...
Let's have a weighing party of the tits. See
I mean,
how big... Who has the biggest ones?
Well, in a
who
way,
has the longest dick?
See, in a way, that's why some... You know, like, that's why I... A lot of times I can't really have a conversation, a real great connection with, like, say, people who just want to be models. Because it's just like, oh, I just want to be hot. You know, there's nothing else to that. And I'm just like, okay, cool. You want to be hot and just shake your ass and be naked. That's good for you. But for me, what I want out of life is, you know, something substantial. And then just like you're saying, yeah, there's more to life than just big tits. Though that's a great addition. But it's like that'd be cool if there was more to that.
Yeah, but I guess it's cool that, like, people are just embracing a certain type of personality. If that makes sense. Because really, I don't think many people are quirky. I really think, like, out of the whole population,
really,
it might be, like, 1 out of 100.
Really, like, you know, quirkiness has to come with a bit of an outsiderness, too. Quirky only works if everyone else is, like, the straight man who just, like, who looks at the girl and be like, she's weird.
Yeah.
You have to be able to own... That's what it is. If you're legit, you have to own the weirdness. You have to honestly own that weirdness and make it your own. You can't just be like, I'm going to be weird because that's what's happening. No, you don't have a choice.
And then people,
you know what I mean? You
and
have
then
no
people
choice.
Are attracted to you because you're different and you stand out,
or you also because you're confident about it too.
Yeah,
or you don't give a fuck.
I remember
flying fuck.
Tom
actually.
Arnold gave like some I forget where he was or did an interview, but he, like I always wondered even when I was a young kid, I was like, why the hell is Tom Arnold love Roseanne? I was like in elementary school and I used to wonder that.
Yeah,
because I was like, come on, man, look at Roseanne. How can anyone love that? Like, you know, it's an honest opinion. I was seriously in elementary school. Like, you know, I haven't been tainted or whatever. And I was like, really, I was like, how can a normal guy, like, really fall for her or whatever? I mean, I know she's funny, but come on, man.
Come on, man.
No, but, and then he said that, like, there was something about Roseanne, even on stage, I guess she, like, lifted up her shirt or something. She had no remorse about something.
Yeah.
And he said that was, like, so attractive to him that she was so confident and, like, was just... put it out there and stuff. Because it's like, I mean, I hate to say stuff like this, but it's kind of true. Like, any guy could, like, try to go up to, like, a hot celebrity supermodel or something and, like, try...
Celebrity supermodel?
I don't know. Some, no, like, a thing. Hot whatever. And, then, like, he could have had a probably better pick of the litter than Roseanne. But for whatever reason, something inside him triggered that she had confidence and that he wanted to make his move on Roseanne. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's something there that was, like, there was a spark. And I can appreciate that, you know? Good for Roseanne, you know? Or, and I don't know. I know their whole relationship was kind of weird, and she apparently liked John Goodman, so who knows?
Who knows, man?
I mean, I don't think anything happened between her and John Goodman, but I guess she liked him internally.
You can like whoever you want, man. You can like whoever you want.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, this quirky thing, though. I mean, it is a way of drawing attention to yourself. Because people are like, wow, her patterns are mixed-matched. Or, oh, she's wearing, like, a red sock and a blue sock.
So it's almost like
different.
It's almost like in a gray world. A gray black and white world. Like, the quirky person is the spot of color.
Yeah, which I admire. I feel like I can't go around saying that I don't... I dislike quirky people.
Is that what's replaced, like, sort of like the goth, like the, or like the yeah, like sort of like the, I would think like the goth, you know, like a misfit kid.
Those people are still around because they're just going to want to wear like darker colors and just kind of act like they're not there.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be those ghost people.
The ghosts. Yeah. Maybe that's where I exist in. I exist in the ghosts.
You're a little overlap with a lot of stuff.
I'm a problem.
But I wouldn't say you're a full-on ghost.
I'm a problem.
But that's what makes you even more unique, though.
Me?
That you're not just like, oh, he's just a ghost.
It's because I...
You know what I mean?
Then, I don't want to be called an artist. Is that what the problem is?
But like the,
RC was like, dude, man, I know you really hate it, dude, but you're an artist, dude. You're an artist, Joe. Like, no matter how you want to admit it, you want to call yourself a con artist, and you want to reject all the stylings of any artist, dude, you are definitely an artist, okay? Just let it be. Just suck it in. I was like, don't tell me I'm an artist, dude. Don't.
I don't know why you're trying to, like, run away from it, because what else would you categorize it as? It's just that there's so many, like, crappy artists and like the whole reputation.
Yeah, that's what ruins it.
Here it is.
Here
the
it
whole
is.
Reputation of artists is off because everyone thinks that artists are irresponsible or on drugs or like late to things or they don't consider other people and they're all about the art and they're unprofessional and they're like they're hippie and they're Democrat and they're just
Democrat.
No, yeah,
that's
or like
what it is. They're Democrat.
They're liberals, or like they, you know, they're floaty and they're foggy and all that. And that, and you know what? Honestly, there's a reason for all of those adjectives that describe artists because they're probably mostly true, like to 90%. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every artist is all those words. Because I know a couple artists that have their shit together. You know, it sounds like artists don't have their shit together and they're more like, oh, in the moment, love everybody and, you know, all that. Like, which I get. But there are some artists that, like, keep a calendar. That, like, promote themselves. That, like, you know, have jobs that can be professional and not be on drugs when they show up at work. You know, or whatever. You know, yeah. Like, there are people that are, like, not what the ideal idea of what artists are. So I just think it's funny how, like, people are like, oh, that's how he is. He's an artist. Leave him alone or whatever. You know what I mean? Get out of his way. Don't bother him.
That's usually what people... I remember even, like, family members or friends of people who don't really know me, they're like, oh, that's just Joe. That's what he does. He's just doing his thing.
Because you're unique, but, like, that's another...
Peculiar.
I think unique was the word, like, for 10 years ago. They were like, oh, you're so unique. But now it's just, like, quirky. Now, like, it's almost like the unique became quirky in its own way, and then just the word quirky is so weird.
Yeah.
That it's, like, its own quirky within a quirky.
I find it's always tough to be anything when you have a lot of people trying to do the same thing. You know?
But there's always, like, variations of things. Like, for example, like, you know, I mentioned, like, you know, artists might be more liberal. Well, you know what? There might be a conservative artist, you know, but maybe they aren't as vocal about it or something. You know, it's just, there's all different types. It's like, but I will say 90% of the words that I created for artists, probably true. But like I said, that's like with every stereotype. Like, I could run down every type of person, list like 10 words about them.
Yeah.
And it's probably 90% true. And like I said, there's a reason for the stereotypes, because I love stereotyping.
Nothing wrong with stereotyping, because there's nothing wrong with telling the truth, is there?
But that's the cool thing, though, because then when you do get that 1% person that breaks the mold, they're like such an awesome, unique person in my eyes. You know, that they like that they don't fit those boxes. So that's why they're specifically awesome, because you can't categorize them.
They're like the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, it's like they have that spark, and those are only like special people. Like I said, less than 1% of population, really. That's how I think that's how I think about it, because you see everyone else walking around like zombie drones. You don't even know, you know, they're not memorable. They're just walking around.
That's the key, man, is to be memorable, I think. If you're quirky or if you're not quirky, but like being your own, being defined only by your own rules, I think is really important.
But you know what? It has to be authentic.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be authentic.
But if you see somebody like, you know, dressing like a clown every day, seriously, like on purpose to be like, oh, I'm so quirky. I'm going to be a clown.
But how do you define that? How do you define that?
Unless they are like a true clown and they seriously like.
Are you talking about actually being a clown?
No, but like. If they're actually a clown, then they're a clown, and that's fine. they're a clown.
If they're bozo, then that's fine.
Yeah, but, like, I'm just saying that, like, there are people that are walking around that is just, like, making fools of themselves.
But see, like
come on, man.
But also,
really?
at the same time, it's like they need to do that to find themselves, too, right?
That's fine. They might be going through a period of time where they do this. Like, the other day, I read this girl.
All these things are just periods in our time.
I read this girl's account about how, like, you know, like, she went through her angsty teenage years. And she was like, I can't believe I did this, but I actually, at that time, wore a dog collar around my neck, and it actually had the address of my boyfriend. If found, please return to the boyfriend's address. And I'm like, in my head, I was like, honestly, that's pretty lame. But like, she knew it.
But you might as well do it then. Get it out of your system.
But she, like, though, I guess she was, you know, in high school, her angst years. But like, it's almost pretty lame though to like actually have that necklace.
I mean, like, I bet at the time though.
But nowadays,
those early '90s were great.
But nowadays, she would probably never do that.
Because it's done.
But also, like, who would want to wear that? You know,
oh,
return me to my owner, my boyfriend.
That sucks to be like, this is my owner.
But that's the thought process behind it, right? That's how
I don't want
the dog is lost.
I don't even want someone to think of me as their owner. That's like the worst feeling ever.
But you know, like, she grew up or whatever. She went through those times. I feel like everybody's got to go through like their quirky times or their miserable teenage years, and then you learn so much from that, even though it might be painful existence at this current moment if you're going through that. But eventually, you know, it might take a while, but 10 years from now you'd be like, man, I'm actually glad I went through that, because then that helped create me, and like, that's why I'm not like that anymore.
You have to like that's the same with me when I'm making sort of judgments, even sometimes about people or something, being with around people or things I like. It's like I gotta, you know, I have to experience it or be around it to know I don't want this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even making a shirt, I'm like, I gotta wear it first to see if it works with what I have, and if it doesn't, then I'm not gonna wear it. You know, it's the same thing with certain people I'm around. Like, I guess I'll see how it is to be around these people. If don't, then I don't really want it in my life anymore.
And some people, they know, like, they might not know what they want, but they know what they don't want.
Yeah.
So that helps narrow the decision down.
Absolutely.
And yeah, this has been an interesting talk about quirkiness.
So what do you think about quirkiness now, Carolyn?
I appreciate it.
Now you appreciate it.
I just think it's funny that
they all have the same type of
photo with their head tilted and like buggy eyes, being like, "What?"
And like the frog lips.
I'm so quirky.
We call that the frog lips.
The frog lips, like acting like they have Botox.
Like they all look like Michigan J.
Or what is it called? The duck lips.
No, it's different.
That's more like
Frog lips are different than duck lips.
Frog lips.
Or the duck lips is more of the sucking cheek look. That's the frog lips.
I'm doing the frog lips.
You don't rip it.
It's like a broad smile that's kind of like puffing your lips at the same time.
But people do that. Some people find it adorable.
I don't know. I think I'm just in a phase that I'm probably just going to do this for like another month and then I'll move on and like forget about doing that face.
Yeah.
But I don't do it like for the camera or anything. I just like do it when I look in the mirror sometimes. That's... or like to annoy you. I'm just like, wow, I'm quirky.
Because the greatest thing is to annoy Joe.
Because that's like my bit.
The hardest thing in the world is to annoy Joe.
That's my bit, though, my is, bit. Like, doing the little quirky face. So I'll get beyond it.
I'll continue playing the straight man in everyone's life. That's what's going to happen to me.
Okay.
That's how I'm going to be.
Who is the number one straight man? Seth Rogen?
I don't know. Number one straight man? Paul Rudd?
Probably Paul Rudd.
Maybe Paul Rudd beats me, but he's a straight man out of that group.
Definitely Paul Rudd.
Quirkiness. Quirkiness prevails. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's another Carolyn and Joe show for your very holiday special needs. Thank you all for listening and paying attention to us because we are quirky, or we're not. We are whatever we are. We are the Carolyn and Joe show. This show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also, updated work all the time at goastray.tumblr.com. Check out my films at one-shots.com. Check out my movies. Check on that on one-shots.com. Also, don't forget, check out my band, Mickey and Mallory. We're a band that I'm in with Jessica Seibel called Mickey and Mallory. Check them out, mickeyandmallory.com. Also, across from me, Carolyn Bilewski, one of the greatest artists and creators ever to step foot on this planet. Check her work out at curls-studio.com. And put a slash on that and put in curls. Every Monday, you get a comic strip. It'll make you smile. It will make you smile. What else you got, Carolyn?
I just want to say, we are who we are.
We are who we are. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios. I'm home.